Okay, so last week we began the Agadot of Bashert, Bilaz. And we noted that there are many problems with these Gemaras. There are internal problems, contradictions. Does the Baskol go out every day? Does it go out 40 days before the child is born? There are theological problems. What does this do with free will? What does it do with
foreknowledge,
etc. And yeah, there are a lot of problems in these Gemaras. We started taking approaches up last week, and we obviously have to understand the internal discourse in the Gemara. How does tefillah help? What's the difference between Zug Rishon and Zug Sheni? So Ganapolsky suggested last week that one direction to understand the sugya, which I added, is contextually supported by the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is to say that Gemara is making no theological claims. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about the importance of a first marriage, of the tragedy of the end of a first marriage, either through death or through divorce. In that context, it may just be the Gemara saying you should relate to the person you marry as your betrothed, as your predestined spouse, so that you have the feeling that this is something that I should be committed to, that I should try to make work, rather than just saying it's not working, let me get out of it. We noted Tolkien's letter, right, that in theory there is a more perfect spouse for you somewhere, but your soulmate is the person you're actually married to. Okay? That is model number one. But let's now move on to other models. So Rashi represents, I think, a very classic way of thinking about this sugya, which is that, yes, in fact, before you were born, God predetermined who you were going to marry. And Rashi in number 7 says very simply, Zug Rishon Lefi Mazal. Your first one is on luck, or the zodiac. It's predetermined in the stars. Zug Sheni is your second spouse. You remarry. Lefi Masav, that is not predetermined. Who you marry, if you marry a second time, is based on your actions. And since that's the case, Kashel Zavgan Lefi Sheno Bat Zugo, your second marriage is simply not your predetermined spouse, and therefore it's hard, right? The first spouse, it's easy. Second one, it's hard. That's all, right? That's what he thinks. And first marriage, second marriage, Zug Rishon, Zug Shina, that's all it means. And we noted in the Rashi and the Ketav Yad, which again, we saw it last week in 3, Rashi, despite this, so what do you do about free will? So what was Rashi's solution in the Ketav Yad to the problem of free will? He does seem to, because what does he say? That if you daven to marry the wrong spouse, you will marry that person, right? You just will regret it, right? Or she'll die, or you'll die. Meaning, he thinks that there is free will, meaning you could, through tefillah and other things, actually end up marrying the wrong person. And that's why you shouldn't do that. Right? You shouldn't daven in that way. But Rashi thinks that fundamentally you could do it, but in this case, there is not foreknowledge. God is saying, this is who you should marry. If you don't, you could not. It'll just be bad. Right? It'll be a bad marriage, or you'll die, or she'll die, or whatever. But it can happen. Right? So Rashi does believe in this metaphysical predetermination, but not in like a, it's not, it has to be this way. It should be this way. It's the right thing to happen. It's the best marriage you'll have. You don't do it, so you don't do it. Right? It'll be bad, right? If you daven and manage to circumvent the problems, right, of, you can do that. Yes. Meaning it's God created, the point would be that God created for every man at least, right? How you deal with multiple spouses, I don't really know, but let's say, at least for every man, the right woman for him, right? According to Rashi, seemingly not, right? That God created the perfect soulmate. Correct, and that's why I said I don't really know how you deal with the fact that polygamy is mutar, what that does, right? But according to him, the first woman the man marries is indeed his bat zug, and the next one is not. Right? That's Rashi. Sometimes you might marry the wrong one, but fundamentally there is a matim person. Adam, Sean, Yosef. No, you're right. The other way around, right? The woman who have one man, and the man, I don't know if the man has multiple, or you marry one perfect wife and then a bunch of not perfect wives. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know how this works with polygamy. I just don't. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, Sean.
Okay, so hypothetically, what did you, right? You marry the woman who's not predestined for you, okay? Now, the Gemara then says that your second marriage is going to be the one that's not predestined.
Correct. So,
that
very good. The kasha would be, but what is that really the case? I mean, what happens if your second marriage is the one that you marry, you find your bashert? I don't know, right? I don't know. He doesn't weigh in. You're right. It could be that the second marriage you'll luck out. You'll find your bashert. Or it could be that it'll be even harder, right? You messed up, right, your first chance, and now God will just make it. I don't know. I just don't know the answer in the Rashi, Tosfot, Rush world. Okay? Yeah. Oh, wait. I promised Yosef first. Yosef. I'm so used to you just... Yeah, anyways. Maybe. Right? Maybe, because it could be. But probably not. Meaning, you could find it earlier, you could find it later... Right? You can find it easily, find it difficult. I don't know what to tell you. That doesn't usually happen. We don't like marrying, you know, people with such age gaps. I don't know. Look, the usual bracha of people at engagement parties is Bekarov etzlecha, right? Soon by you, as the YouTube series of modern Orthodox Jews dating goes. Yes, there is a YouTube TV series that was made about modern Orthodox Jews dating called Soon by You. With professional, like, directors and people who actually have experience in all of this, it's hysterical. Oh, no, it's actually really good. It's like, if you've ever been around modern Orthodox people dating, you watch it and you're like, yes, I totally see where this came from. And with all its craziness, yeah, it's really an interesting watch. There was one teacher in Gush though who really liked people getting married later. So at every engagement party of his young students, he would go around to people saying "Berachok etzlechem, Berachok etzlechem," right? But I will note that. His name is Rav Bazak, and Rav Bednarsh, when he gave our dating vod when I was in Shanabet, he was pretty harif about his perspective on Rav Bazak's bracha, which is, I quote, "There seems to be a machloket in yeshiva about when you're supposed to get married, between Rav Bazak and Chazal." Let's be very clear. You're supposed to get married young. Of course, then he continued and said, "I was ready to get married in 20. My wife's parents just didn't want us to get married that young." At which point, Leora leaned over, whispered something into his ear, and he said, "Fine, you hadn't said yes yet. Whatever." Look, admittedly, he was 21, but he'd already graduated Princeton, okay? So, like, you know, just put everything in perspective. Fine. Yes. Yeah, predetermined. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like how does that exactly work in that? If a person has free will, then through free will position, the person can, like, perhaps change.
Well, that's what he says, right? If you daven, you could change it and end up in a bad marriage.
But not daven change, rather, like, you yourself can change, therefore.
Right. So Rashi doesn't weigh in on that. Are there other ways of getting into the wrong marriage? He doesn't get into it. Right? Now, yeah, he doesn't get into it, right? Meaning, are there other ways? We don't know. Right? We don't know. According to Rashi, it sounds like not. Okay? But let's now take up the problem. However, this, you know, I guess at some level solves the free will problem, sort of, and the foreknowledge problem, sort of, right? Because this is who is ra'ui for you. It's proper for you. It doesn't mean you're going to marry necessarily, and it's not that there's no way out. It's just going to be bad. But still, that does seem to be a little bit problematic, right? So if you had to guess, who would really, really not like this? Who would look at this Gemara and just say, foreknowledge, free will, sounds weird? Thank you. That was obvious. Okay? So turn to 10, right? What exactly, how we solve it will be Yaakov. Yaakov will represent the Meiri, who goes in the Rambam's direction. And the Meiri is the one who actually fetches that in the Sugya. But let's first read the Rambam. So this is in his famous letter to Rabbi Ovadia Hager. Sha'alta, Sheila. You said, Akobi de Shamayim chutz mi'yiret Shamayim, right? You want to know about free will, right? Big adult, tell me everything you know about free will. Easy question, right? This is always the Shiloh you want to get.
It's a nice and simple question.
Yes, exactly. Right, well, yes, it's like when Yehonatan asked me last week, Al Regalacha, can you please tell me your entire view of religious Zionism and how it affects the nature of Sakalacha? You know, yes, right, Al Regalacha, how do you do that? Okay, fine. Free will is even more complicated than that. What? It was a great conversation. Shuva, it was like my conversation before, right? Al Regal Achad, what do you know about everything with comparative studies of Torah and the ancient Near East and the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha? Okay, you know, that's more than a, you know, Al Regal Achad question, but I do my best. But the Rambam says, Shuva, the Rambam was smarter than I am. The Rambam can write this all in one page. Okay, you ask me about free will, I would not be able to do it all in one page. But fine. Amasha Amarta Ata. That which you said, that things are not predetermined. That is the truth. Without a doubt, that is true. And that's why that's why you get reward and punished. And he said, what is your shamayim? All actions that you do, or at least all actions that have moral or religious worth. Okay? That's free will means that all actions, at least those of moral worth, are free. That's what it means. Everything in the end of the day has some moral worth, comes to some mitzvah, some aveira. What does it mean that everything's b'nei shamayim? That means nature. Nature, the rules of nature that God did. Now you do with that what you do, but it is what it is. That's what Kovid Shamayim means. We will prove to this in Pirkei Avot. And anyone who gives up on any of what I just said because they saw some midrash or some agadata or something that the Gaonim said, you found some agadata that makes it sound like what I just said is not true. You find some word that implies that what I said is not right. And you think that they make sense in the words of wisdom. That is intellectual suicide. Right? That's what he says. Right? It is sufficient in what he has already done through his own soul. Meaning, there's nothing left I can do to punish the poor soul who has so punished himself with his stupidity. Okay? Vizesh Amar Lecha Rabcha. And your Rebbe, who apparently had helped Rebbe Ovadia Hager convert, who said I was wrong based on Bat Ploni Laploni, right? Who said, what about Bashert? Right? וממון של פלוני לפלונים, זה שווה בכל היא, וזאת דברים כפשוטן. And then said, it's basically like zera shavat all things, right? Everything's predetermined. Lama nemar b'Torah, penda mutma milchama v'yishakeri chakev v'yishakeri chalene. We said, aha. So why does the Torah say, if you're afraid to go to war because you got married, because you might die? Oh, but if you're basheret, you won't die because you'll be able to finish you'll be able to consummate the marriage. Apparently it's possible not to marry your basheret. It's a pasuk, right? The Torah says, right, if you did eretz, then you get to go back from war, right? Why? Because you might die. Oh, you might die. How could you die? It's your basheret, right? V'chiyesh ba'olam ba'al deya yistapek lo davar zeh achar mash katuv ba'Torah. Is there anybody with any wisdom in this world who will doubt something after it's written in the Torah? Elakach ra'ui l'mishu mevin v'libo nachon. This, anybody who has understanding and his heart is true, we told Derech Hamet to take the true path. Yasim nizanim v'rash b'Torah ikar v'yesod shel yaros binyan v'yateret tkuah shel lotimot. Should make this the path of your life so that you don't destroy the building of Emunah. If you find a pasuk that seems like it doesn't agree with my theology, or a chazal, the Rambam is very confident in himself. You found a pasuk, Yidrosh v'yavakesh b'ayin libot shevin divrei navi yachamim yitru divrei mechavanim b'nyan v'furash b'tarah rei mutav. Figure out what the pasuk means. If by the time you figure out the pasuk, it means what I said it meant, great. V'im lav yomar divrei navi azav divrei chacham zeini yodei otam. And if it doesn't work with what I said, then just say you don't understand the Torah, right? But I'm right. I'm just telling you I'm right. Okay? I'm right. So I'm done. Okay? Udvarim shebego heinam al pshutehem v'zerim chacham b'toshal ploni l'ploni derech schar derech parun u'nuzeh. The truth is that who you marry is based on schar. On merit, right? On what you deserve. Shimza ish ozot haisha asu mitzvot shara'ui litein schara bahem zivug yafem shubach. If you do good things and deserve a good spouse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezav ben zelazeh, so God will let you marry. V'chein imroi lifram ehem bezivug shebok satam mechama. And if you're a terrible person and God wants to punish you, He'll give you a spouse and your marriage will be a punishment. God can do that too, right? Kach yeah, 1 second. And how God works on Hashkacha isn't equal for everybody. As we know, the Rambam's view of Hashkacha is very complicated. This is all based on what I said in Avot, and this is obviously true. Okay? So the Rambam just says, the simple read of the Agadata is just wrong. You think it sounds like it contradicts me? I don't care. Good luck. It's wrong. Okay? Yes, Jonathan.
First of all, the
Rambam That wouldn't work for the Rambam. The Rambam is based on Suyot. However it works out in Suyot, you'll marry each other. I don't know what it will look like, right? It could be that it'll be a, you know, look, it could be that you'll have a tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, whatever, a very big tzaddik, you know, Haredi vision, who, for him, the greatest schar would be to have a wife who will go to work for him and do all the cooking and leave him to learn Talmud Torah. But there's a woman who deserves to be punished, who is, in her heart of hearts, you know, she grew up in that world, but in her heart of hearts doesn't want to be there. Stop, sit down, stop crowding me. It's very disconcerting. You've got to understand what it's like to be in a box here, people. And you have a woman who her greatest nightmare is to be married to someone who only cares about Torah and will never spend time going to museums or whatever. So God says, aha, I have an idea. This woman, she's a career woman, right? She's happy to work, right? So it'll be a great reward to have her going and working and supporting the family and whatever, and it'll reward him. But her, to be married to him, is a punishment. It'll work out perfect. I don't know how God works it, okay? Right? It could be, right? I don't know what the lack of a spouse is. I don't know. I just don't know. I 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 assume it's not as bad as having a bad spouse. Chazal are pretty, right? Right? Chazal are very clear that a bad spouse, you know, right? Chazal are quite humorous about this, right? The wonderful Gemara and Yevamot where they have, right, you know, the old thing they would say about a spouse, Masa o Mosa, right? This was the old thing that they asked you when you got married. What does that, right? What does that mean? It's a Gemara. They would say, Masa o Mosa, is your wife Masa Isha Masa Chayim? Right, which is one pasuk, that if you find a wife, you have found life, right? Or motzeh, which is a pasuk in Kabbalah, which is motzeh ani et isha mar miva mavet, that I find the wife to be more bitter than death, right? Which type of woman is it? But then you have this wonderful thing where a son asks his father, who's the first type? He says, like your mother, she's the perfect one. He says, and who's the painful one? Kigonimcha, your mother, right? Which is the first your mama joke in the history of the world, right? It's in Chazal and it's to someone's, and it's father to son, which makes the whole thing even weirder, right? But Kachaze, yes. Joe, yeah. No. God, oh, sort of, yes. Meaning at some level the Rambam thinks is based on Shchuyot. In what way, I don't know. Right, the Rambam isn't too clear about this. Well, make sure you get the wife you deserve at this point, right? It's based on Schar. And again, the Rambam intimates at the end that it's based on his complicated theory of Schar Vonesh. He doesn't flesh it out, right? He just says, and somehow this will work in the world of Schar Vonesh, so it's not, right? It's not clear that he'll pick the one person. It could be that you'll marry someone, right? It could be there are many people that will fit that. I don't know how he works in free will and Schar Vonesh into this whole Cheshbon. Okay. But, no, yes. Yes, he's the 17. Very nice. You're all late. Okay, good. He doesn't, he just says, I don't know, but it's not Akasha. He doesn't answer it. He doesn't say. He just says, that's not Akasha. It doesn't mean what you think it means. But he doesn't say what it does mean. So here we move to Yaakov, okay? We move to Yaakov, the person in front of you, right? Where Yaakov, the Me'iri, is the one who really spells out what a Maimonidean vision might look like. Okay? First I'll say it outside, then we'll read it inside, okay? Me'iri has a fascinating theory. Me'iri says like this. Zivug Rishon does not mean your first spouse. This is what it means. If you get married really young, pachor yoter, let's say you get married at 13, 14, so by that point in your life, who you are and who you marry has been affected by you minimally. Because who you are and who you marry is almost entirely a product of your parents, your social class, your geography, etc. So if you get married that young, before you've had the opportunity to shape your personality and really develop into an independent person, so then it's as if your marriage is predetermined because you had very little to do with it. That's Zug Rishon. Right? Zug Rishon isn't your first spouse. It's a spouse you marry at that point in your life where you have not yet had a chance to form yourself into an independent person. Zug Sheni, and he says that marriage is more or less easy. Right? Your parents say marry her, that's the end of the day. Right? You marry and it's over. Zug Sheni is if you get married later in life, so then who you marry is determined by who you've decided to make yourself into and the type of person you've chosen to become. And it's tally in schar v'onesh, not like necessarily in the metaphysical sense, but in the very real sense, right? That who you are affects who you marry. And therefore, the way Me'iri reads the sugya is, if it doesn't literally mean that there's a boss call that comes out and says, you will marry such and such. It's if you get married really young, it's as if who you got married to was written into the stars. Because it's a product of your social class, right? Which we all know. At that point in your life, you're basically lucky or unlucky, right? You're born into a good family with good social standing and money and whatever, so you'll marry a good person from a good family. And you're not, you probably won't, right? It is what it is, right? It's predetermined, we're sorry. But Zug Sheni is if you get married later in life, and then it's more complicated, right? You know, Lahavdil, I've heard marriage therapists talk about this, that not 13-year-olds getting married, but that younger people getting married is easier because it's what they call, I've heard them term it as a startup marriage, right? Because neither of them have finished growing, and they're basically committing to grow together. So there's flexibility built in, and the exact contours of their personality are still being hammered out, and they can figure it out together, right? But when the later you get married, the more it's like a merger marriage, right? You've solidified your identity, and it's much harder to get married because, you know, the more set in your ways you are, the more you need to find a spouse who is going to be able to live with you or exactly as you are without the possibility of shared growth, right? It's not impossible, but the more set in your ways you are, the harder it is to find someone who's batim, right? So that's more or less what the Meiri is saying. Okay, let me read the Meiri, then I'll take a question, okay? So Meiri 9 says, Mipinot ha-dadu mi-sedasa, one of the cornerstones of belief, hu la'min bi-yosher mishpatash kamid barach, is to believe in the fairness of God's laws. That you're punished based on your deeds, good or bad. And predestination doesn't change that. Umarechat kochavim, the zodiacs, right? There is nothing's written in the stars. Sometimes you'll be left to chance if you don't deserve it, but that's also a punishment. But he said, if you have somebody who is being left to chance, so to speak, not because of the punishment, but because it's the natural thing, that's not a punishment, it's a statement about reality. Who you marry is reward or punishment. Whether God gives you a good wife or not. And therefore, if someone is modest, so they marry a modest person. And if someone is promiscuous, so promiscuous. Etc. Let me just skip down. So he says, Vizibuk Shani, look at two lines from the bottom. Ratzalomar Shu Bizman Ro'oi La'onesh Ugmul. Zibuk Shani means at an age when you are worthy of being punished and rewarded because you've had enough time to develop. But if you're not Roy, that means your first marriage, quote unquote. It's not first and second marriage. It's very young marriage, like 13, 14, or older marriage where you're an adult and you're responsible for where you've brought yourself in life. If you're young, like right after bar mitzvah, it's basically chance, right? Meaning what family you were born into. He said, that's what it means 40 days before. And it's not first and second marriage. It's young wedding, young marriage, older marriage. That's how he reads it to fit into a Maimonidean framework. Okay? Now, at my engagement party, right, I was mechabing to what Yaakov would say in Shir 10 years later, right? Which was, with the Meiri, I think you have a beautiful solution to the contradiction between the Gemara of whether the Bat Kol comes 40 days before or Bechol Yom Vayom. Right? Whether there's a Bat Kol 40 days before you're born or every day. According to Meiri, a very easy way of reading the Gemaras. If you're functioning in the world where you're getting married at 13 and who you get married to is based on the type of family you were born into and the class you were born into, etc. So that Bat Kol, it's as if it came out before you were born. Right? But once you enter into Zivug Sheni, the world of marriages that are dependent on Schar, that are dependent on who you are as a personality, so that's constantly changing. And therefore, at every given point, as you change, Bat Kol Yotze, a new Bat Kol comes out and says, as you stand now, this is the type of person that you are worthy to marry. Right? So I think for the Meiri, there's a very nice solution to how to agadically read the Bat Kol 40 days before and the Bat Kol every day. Now I will add, right, I'll derech Drush and then I'll take Yaakov, because Yaakov is the Bala Memra. Yaakov, I have now shoved into the corner with the Meiri, and maybe he wants to push back, I don't know. Is that one could even go farther and say that the Gemara doesn't actually say B'chol Yom Vayom until marriage. Right? It doesn't actually say that the Bat Kol comes out every day until you're married and then the Bat Kol shuts up. Right? Because once you're saying that, what that Agadita is getting at is that once you get married at the age of Schar V'Onesh, so the spouse you have is based on either metaphysical Schar V'Onesh or sort of down-to-earth Schar V'Onesh, right? What you deserve day-to-day, the way you, right, the way you act, the way you build your relationship, the effort you put in, right? So it could be B'chol Yom Vayom, literally, even after you get married, the type of marriage you have and the way your spouse treats you continues to be dependent on the type of person you are every day. And we know, right, you know, marriage therapists will tell you this a lot, right, that we do a lot of mirroring, right? The way that our spouse treats us, we tend to treat them back. So the best way to have your spouse, right, treat you well is, even if you're not in a good mood, is to try to act nicely, right? Because that will usually get reflected back to you, right? And therefore, you could even suggest to the myriads farther is that even within the marriage, right, the type of marriage you have and the type of relationship you have with your spouse continues to be affected by the way you act. Yes, Yaakov. I know you weren't saying underage. No, okay, I will take this back. Yaakov was, I will put this clear. Yaakov was not endorsing a marriage of 13-year-olds. No. But, all right, you could, look, you could tweak the Meiri, right? You don't have to say 13 years old versus whatever. Correct, right? Very good. So you could, right, you could tweak it, right? You could say that, look, if I am born into a wonderful family, right, and I, as I get older, I choose to follow in the ways of my family, so it could be that the person I'll marry, right, it could be that it is my, quote-unquote, Basher Dev Zivug Rishon, meaning that if I was born into a certain type of family and lived up to their ideals, and my spouse was born into a certain type of family and she lived up to their ideals, and at 13, we would have been a good match, right? So then it could be that at 20 or 24 or 26, right, it's still the right match, right? Meaning it's coming from a different model, right? You could be zoche to continue to live up to that. But, of course, that's if you happen to have been born into the right family, right? You know, this is like the descriptor that sometimes you'll hear people say, me'inve ha-geffen or me'inve ha-geffen, right? That both of them were from such nice families, there's such beautiful families, right? At some level, I think many parents, in fact, have a hope that who their kid would marry, if it was up to them, and who their kid chooses to marry is in shooting distance, so they hope their kids continue to live in their ideal, right? You know, there's a reason that maybe half jokingly, maybe not half jokingly, I'm not sure, right? Whenever we would have, like, you know, kids, if I'd have a boy, which was true for the first three of my kids, near the time that one of my friends would have a girl, it was not uncommon that, you know, Ara would get a text, you know, shidduch in, you know, 20 years, right? Like, that is the way people think, right? Now, obviously, you know that the chances of that happening are unlikely, right? That's, right? But, like, obviously, at some level, that's a possibility, right? That if your kids do just follow the ideals, then the type of person you would want them to marry is the type of person they will actually marry. Oh, yeah, for sure. The opposite is also true. Right, the opposite is also true. I'm just being nice. But yeah, of course that's true, right? But it could happen. They're good. I give you a bracha, all of you, right? This is what I should, at this point of this year, you should all have a good shidduch. Okay, very good. Right, now I've all blessed you, and now whatever. Right? Bekarov etzlechem, but not too soon, because then your parents will get angry at me, and I'm not being serious. I'm not telling you to get married in Shana Aleph. Right, fine, okay, if, you know. I always do this to myself. Someone's going to get angry at me. Yes, Yonatan.
So, if you have a kid, where someone is definitely not going to get married before, like, they want to be, or, like, they have to go in, like, whatever.
Yes. Then everything in this world might be zivug sheni for the Miri. It's not, he doesn't think it's an actual boskal. He's saying this is derech mashal. He doesn't think it's an actual boskal. He's saying kilu. Right? It's an agarata. Right? It's saying, it's as if. Right? As if. Right? The baskal is to say that this has some relevance to Scharvonesh. I mean, God is in the picture. That's what the baskal is telling you. There's not actually a voice, right, coming out. But that's the Meiri with my edition and Yaakov's edition. And again, you can tweak it how you want, but his basic idea is an attempt to take him on a Maimonidean view and read it actually into the words of the agarata. Okay. Now, there are other possibilities. Now, I just need to get ready. Okay. So, the Maritz Chayut, right, who is the only person in the Vilna Shas who had a PhD, right? He is the only person with a PhD who got published in your standard Vilna Shas. He is one of the coolest people, well, ever. He's awesome. I love him. I really do. Because he, Maritz Chayus. I have a chavrusa in Toronto, Justin Kolkitzve Maritz Chayus. He's the best. Well, you guys know I have an obsession with Psak. And, like, he writes these amazing books on Psak. He writes Darkei Hora'ah, Torah Nevi'im. It's amazing. Torah Nevi'im is a book, an entire book, about all the different times that you're allowed to uproot the Torah. Bezdin, Navi, right? Like, all the different cases that you can do it. And the introduction is the most hysterical thing ever. It's, why did I write this book? Because there are Reform Jews that think that they can uproot the Torah and think it's legitimate. Let me show you what it means to uproot the Torah in a legitimate way. And then, if you think effective polemics is a, like, 400-page, very complicated Lamdish book, then, I mean, you're speaking to the wrong people, right? The people who can read that book are not the people you're speaking to. I'm just saying. But he's great, he's awesome. He's just unbelievable. He's really cool. And Rav Huttner's daughter, Buria Huttner, wrote her dissertation on Maritz Chayus. If you ever see an academic, though, you will not know how to spell it. His last name is spelled C-H-A-J-E-S, right? Chat, whatever. Maritz Chayus, okay? Fine? Okay, so here's what he says. Nirsham b'tzido, ayin baal hakeida, shar shmini v'shar, etc. v'tajbet. Right, so first he tells you, look at the tajbet. So let's look at the tajbet that he quotes. Okay, this is number 11. The tajbet says, Zano yichon l'farshol shnei panim. Ha'echad derech mikablei ha'emet, ve'echad derech iyun filosofi. I'm going to give you a Kabbalistic interpretation of this Gemara, and then I'm going to give you a philosophical interpretation of this Gemara. Omnam, derech agabalav shenamid ki'en nishamot nivru'u im or harishon, Kabbalistically, the souls are created from the primordial light. Yes, the primordial light. I don't know what that is. Okay, don't ask me what the ask Reigensburg. I'm sure he knows the Kabbalistic primordial light. I know what that is, yes. Based on the Gemara in Yevamot, that says, Mashiach won't come, at sheyichlu kol neshamot shebaguf, until all souls come out from heaven. So skipping down four lines, he says, Shemisham nireh, yeah. Shemisham nireh ki neshamot nivru kvar, which implies that all souls already exist up there. Wave your hands enough and you'll understand it. Okay, there. Very good. You got it now? There. Okay? V'chen razrur, imamelech, malachto, yeshuelen, shavadein, shaldikin, shavahem, nimlach, v'akadosh baruch hu, barat olam. In Midrash Rut, it says that God consults the souls of the tzaddikim about whether to create the world. V'alehem nigzar, mem yom kodem ayetzira, bas ploni. That's what it means, Kabbalistically, that those souls that exist in the world, God has already been mezavik them. I just read it. I don't know what you want from me. Ulefia derech ha-pilosofi, he said philosophically, hu sha-ka-achana mizavim he-mesudot bi-parah gramim ha-shamayimim, v'zedim mi-mishpat echad yigzor, pe-shilot banim, v'kach yiyu, v'yitzchadim v'zeh, v'kodim yisrael zman ruba v'ashadam b'chirei levatel zorak zirei, minaheg al-pistachlo, v'yitvog zirao hu hi-mitkayemet. So this is, I think, maybe what Yaakov was getting at. He says, here's my philosophical take. That there are two ways you could live your life. One is basically to run on autopilot. Based on your nature, on your teva, right? You don't make any hard decisions, right? You just follow your natural inclinations and your social upbringing, and right, you just go on autopilot. You don't make hard decisions. And then there are people who make hard decisions, right? Who try to change themselves. And he says, that's the difference. What he thinks devagration is the people who choose to basically, you know, live their life al piteva, so their spouse is, whatever it's like, it's predetermined, right? And the people who choose to live their life in a way that they make moral decisions, right, and change themselves to who they marry, is based on who they become, right? And this is, I think, the tweak, maybe that Yaakov was suggesting, that it's not just at 13. There are people who at 20, right? L'tov or l'ra, right? Are basically products of their family. And then there are people who really improve themselves, or the opposite, right? So that's what he thinks this might mean, al derech, philosophy. So that's the third possibility. But the Maariv Chiyot takes this, and I'll try to get through it. He says, the Misugya Mashma, the Ziva Grishin, the Mazal Talya, Vishas Amru, Ein Mazal Yisrael. He says, look, the real problem I have here is that the Gemara makes it sound like your first spouse is based on Mazal. And the Gemara says the Jews don't function on Mazal. Period. End of story. All right? So this is just a problem. And then he quotes the Rambam, and he says, the Rambam may not have explained this to you, but the reason that it's so problematic to say that who you marry is predetermined is because who you marry is connected to a mitzvah called Pur'ervu, and therefore this obviously should be in the realm of things that are free will, because the mitzvot are involved, right? So undeniably, it can't be the type of thing that isn't totally in free will. And that's what the Be'er Sheva says. And then he deals with Arbaim Yom, etc. And he notes that in Vayikra Rabbah as well, it says that God is constantly involved in being Mizaveg Zivugim. And then he says, the halachic problems, right? Don't worry about the halachic problems because it's an agarata. Don't get too worked up about it, right? So that's basically his approach on this sugya. Now let me see if I can find in even smaller print. The Yavetz. Ah, there we go. Okay. 1 second. Nearly ain't a pair zug sheni shemita ishto benas acheret. He gives a different possibility. He says zug sheni doesn't mean your spouse died and you married again. Shrei adam nosi kama nashem ishto. Proof polygamy. Right? Proof polygamy. You could always have married more than one wife without one dying. So what could this mean? He says, what does it mean? All souls come into the world, male and female. So who said this? I'll finish up with this, and then we'll... Who said, was it Yonatan, that you asked, could you marry the wrong one first and then get back to it? Or someone else? Who was it? Anyways, so he says, Kabbalistically, Zivug Rishon is literally your soulmate, right? That you're two parts of the same soul. But he doesn't think this is in order. Right? He says, Zivug Rishon is the person you were meant to be with originally. Zivuk Sheni is if you messed up and didn't deserve to be with your Ben Zug, right? But it's not chronological. It could be that first you marry Zivuk Sheni, right? Meaning the person that you shouldn't marry because you were a Russia and didn't deserve to marry your soulmate. And then you improve your ways and you marry Zivuk Rishon. Right? So he says Zivuk Rishon, Zivuk Sheni, he also thinks it's Tully and Tzchar, right? He basically takes Kabbalah, and he uses it to flip around and bring free will back into it. He says, Zivug Rishon really means the soul that you, right, your shared soulmate. But where's free will come in here? That Zivug Sheni, the one that's hard, is whoever you marry when you don't deserve to marry the person who actually shares your soul. Zivug Rishon is whoever you deserve to originally marry. But you decided for yourself.
Because, well, your other, then of course, she can't marry you.
Well, she might mess up also. Yes, yes. And correct, correct. It still gets into the problems of that, right? But from a rational perspective, right, you could say this as well, right? That you could first marry the person who's totally beschut, right? Right? Meaning you would first marry someone, right? Meaning once he's saying this, he's saying even Kabbalistically, you could say that Zivug Rishon just means the person you're meant to be with, but you might not deserve it. Zivug Sheni is somebody else, but it doesn't matter which order it's in, right? All the Gemara is saying is if you're a bad person and don't deserve to marry someone who gives you a good marriage, that's hard. That's called Zivug Sheni. And if you deserve to marry the right person, which for Kabbalists is the person who shares your soul, but for rationalists might just be a good marriage, then that's Zivug Rishon, right? It might not be, but this is from a Kabbalistic perspective. That's what I said. You could say this rationally. He says it Kabbalistically, but you could say it rationally. Okay, I think...